Some of y'all are wondering why the flags were at half mast this morning, and Jim Prairie takes care of our flag flying out there. Today is Peace Officers Memorial Day. It's a day that we're supposed to honor police officers. It was set up in 1994, and also in 2002, President Bush proclaimed that it's Peace Officers Memorial Day, a tribute to our police officers and those that are standing in the face of all that's going on in the world today. So, Bill, are you in here? Dixie, did you lose your husband? Or she? Hey, Bill, there you are, hiding around there. You got to come up here. Do we have anybody else that's a police officer or retired police officer or anything like that this morning that I don't know about? You get to be the prayer pole. We're praying for all police officers. More today's National Police Officers Memorial Day. Those that have fallen in service and those that are defending us today. So y'all stretch your hands out to Bill. Let's let him be the point of the police officers this morning. We're going to pray. Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that all peace officers all over this whole land, Lord God, they have the calling on their lives to stand in the gap, Lord God, and to see peace in our communities. Lord, that stand against terrorism, that stand against, Lord God, just the things that are going on in this world today. Lord, I declare that all the evil is put down. I declare that these men are blessed and anointed of God, that they're sovereignly, divinely protected. Lord, that they are blessed in all that they do, that you give them wisdom above any of their understanding. And you give them eyes to see things, Lord, that others miss. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now bless them this day, Lord, all over this land in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Yeah, give him a hand clap. The other thing that you're going to notice this morning is this giant bright light, okay? I'm not real happy with it, but I feel like sometimes in life you have to do things that the Lord's telling you to do, whether you want to do it or not. And for years and years, I've fought to ever do anything that had to do with putting my face anywhere. I'd let a picture go somewhere, but I wasn't about to do television or anything like that. But because of the world and the changing things that are going on and what the Lord is doing in my heart and speaking to me, I'm kind of hung. Everybody say it'll be okay, Pastor. And so what we're doing is we've started video, and we're going to be videoing services right now. We're just experimenting. We're just starting out doing this. We're going to video. And we're going to start doing internet podcasting. And then we're going to go onto the website, and there's going to be things that are all on there. And so we're just playing around, trying to get it all figured out. And I can't find my message this morning. It's here somewhere. What my problem is see, everybody told me I had to start titling my messages. And so now I don't know what I titled it. But I do know where to go. Go to get your Bibles out and go to the Gospel of John chapter 16. That I do know. Come on now. Where are you? Oh, here we go. 7 weeks till Pentecost is the title of this message. And so we're 5 weeks now away from Pentecost Sunday. And I want to do a short review here this morning, and then we're going to go on into what I feel like the Lord's saying to us today. But let's read here the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Let's just start in verse 5. It says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." Now, Jesus made this statement and he said, that he's going to go to the Father, but when he's going to go to the Father, he said, look, I'm going to be gone, but it doesn't make any difference that I'm going to be gone. Don't worry. Don't trouble your hearts, because I'm going to send the Helper. And I'm going to send the Helper, and he's going to come to you, and he's going to help you and lead you and guide you. You got to understand this morning that if Jesus was here today, and he was on planet Earth today, and he was having church services, y'all wouldn't be wanting to be here. Y'all would be wanting to be over there where he was. You'd be wanting to be in his church. How's the whole world going to fill one church with one man preaching? Can't be done. So Jesus already knew what was going to go, and he said, I'm going to go to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back down to this earth. And when the Holy Spirit comes to this earth, well, then he's going to be your helper. He's going to be your guide. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to speak truth into you. But we've got half of the Christian world today that didn't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And so why would you not want the helper, the one that's going to help you, lead you, guide you into truth with you? And I say it's because people just don't understand. They just have placed the Holy Spirit as something that's, quote, Pentecostal. And all they think about it is what they've seen other people do, how other people have acted, and what things that are gone on like that. And so, therefore, they don't even understand what the power of the Holy Spirit's all about. They don't understand that the Holy Spirit coming from on the day of Pentecost when he fell in the early church, and we read about it in Acts chapter 2, Jesus had already told the disciples to be there. He'd already instructed them, said, go into Jerusalem, go into the temple, and wait there until the power of the Holy Spirit fell. Well, they knew what they were talking about. See, we miss it so many times because we don't understand the Bible when you're reading it from Gentile minds. Right? Like, any of us can go sit down with somebody that's doing a job. How about a doctor, okay? And a doctor goes to trying to explain something to you. He's trying to tell you what's going on in your body, and he's telling you what's going to take place. And if he doesn't explain himself correctly, if he doesn't talk correctly, you're just lost. You're like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Y'all been there? Right? You're just kind of like saying, well, whatever. And you just have to just, you know, right? You're just kind of sitting there and just on the top of your head. Well, when you're reading the Bible and you don't understand from a Jewish perspective, everybody had been through Passover. They knew that Jesus was the lamb that was been sacrificed for Passover. They're starting to catch this. The Jewish people are starting to catch it. The disciples are starting to catch on. Wait a minute. Jesus was a Passover lamb. Wait a minute. God said he was going to deliver us all. Oh, Passover. And that's what was coming in. So he was delivering him. Oh, I get it. Now Jesus was a Passover lamb. We've been delivered. We've been taken from darkness to light. See, it's starting to dawn on them. But they're not thinking much about Pentecost coming because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand it. But the day of Pentecost was a day of rejoicing. I'm talking about the celebration that the Jewish people had. Because it represented the early rains that were going to come upon the land. How many of y'all liked that rain the other day? Didn't it just make you feel better? I mean, it's just an inch and a half, whatever you got. Some of you got a little bit of extra, but Some of you got things that you didn't want, too. But that comes with the territory, right? But all of us were glad we got rain, right? And it just made everything seem better. It made everything seem like it was cleaner. The sky looked better. Everybody felt better. The deer had a smile on their face. Right? Everything. The animals, the bugs, everything's going around. Everybody's like, ah, this is great. Life's great. Well, that's the way it was, the celebration of Pentecost, because in the cycle of the way that the rains came, in Israel, that the early rains were started about the time, you know, in May, June, they would come the early rains. They would get the moisture they needed to plant their harvest, okay? And so the Pentecost was a celebration that they knew that, you know how it's just one of those things that you know when that event's coming around, you know what it means. And you start thinking about it. What? When you start seeing Christmas lights going up, right? What do you start thinking about? Well, Christmas is coming, right? So they didn't understand it. They didn't totally have a completely full knowledge of everything that was going on. But what they did have was knowing that Pentecost is a special time. What I've been challenging you about and started last week, and then Brother Ivan was in this past week, is that I'm challenging you, church. Listen, these are the days that we need to be in our best game. We need to be as Christians right where we're supposed to be. We need to be developed in our prayer life. We need to be knowing what the Word of God says. We need to be rooted and founded in our belief in what we really believe is true. The Bible says in the last days, people are going to come and they're going to deceive you, and there's going to be deceptions going on, that even so much as the elect would be deceived. That's pretty deep when you're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, people that knew the Bible, knew everything that it said in there, and that even they could be deceived. So there's going to come times that people are going to say, here's Jesus and there's Jesus. Let me just give you one. There's a person that predicted he spent $140,000 all of his life savings, I read this article, in New York on placards going on the sides of subways stating that in I believe it's the 21st, May the 21st, right before 6 o'clock, the world's coming to an end. And there's going to be a earthquake and the whatever. And he said that there's the earthquake and the dead's going to rise, and that then God stops saving people at that point. Okay, now, so you just got to stop for a second. As I'm reading this article, I'm kind of listening to what he's saying and saying, okay, well, the Bible does say there's going to be a time that the clock does come to, you know, a midnight hour, and that the world, the age of grace that we're living in changes. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, the guy's not so far off, right? I mean, I don't know that it's May the 21st. Nobody knows, but you follow my point. I'm reading the article with eyes of truth saying, well, he's not so far off. I mean, it could happen someday. It's going to happen someday, whether it's now or then. And then he goes on, he says, and the dead in Christ will rise. Well, I said, well, that's biblical. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, you know, at the end time. Okay, well, he's on. And then he said, something about an earthquake that's going to render the earth uninhabitable. And I thought, well, you know, now we're starting to stretch it, because the Bible does say that, you know, that there's going to be bad things, but I don't know if it says it's uninhabitable. And then he says, and he just hopes that he makes it, that he's in, you know, he makes it. So since then, well, what do you mean if you don't know you're saved? I mean, what are you doing prophesying if you don't even know you're saved? If you're, you know, wouldn't you be worried if you thought you had the revelation that the world's coming to the end, and then you don't even know that you could be saved? And you thought it was at 6 o'clock on May the 21st? I mean, I'd be desperate. I'd be going knocking on the doors of churches and saying, what do you believe? Somebody tell me the truth. I want to know. I want to go to heaven. The world's coming to an end, right? He should have spent the $140,000 learning what the Bible says. You see, truth always comes out. People can have a piece of truth. I mean, there's religions that are formed on pieces of truth, right? Pieces of truth. Not all truth, just pieces of truth. The Bible said Jesus said the Holy Spirit right here was going to come, and what he was going to do is he's going to speak truth to you. He's going to reveal truth to you so that you could have the helper with you. That word means, it's the paraclete. It means the comforter. It means the best definition I like of it is if you were, the Greek word is related to, if you were in trouble and you had to go into court, it's your attorney. The one that's going to help speak for you, that's going to have the answers to get you out. Yeah. Right? If you're in trouble, I'd like a good attorney. $10,000 an hour? Okay. If you're going to get me out of here, all right. Yeah, it's worth it. Y'all just look at me like, y'all wouldn't be that away? Come on. You know you would be. Y'all are. Pastor, I don't get in trouble. I've never had that thought because I've never gotten in trouble. I like to get in trouble. I'll tell you the quick story. Can I tell you the quick story? Because it's really a pretty eye-opening story. I was coming back on the trip from down in the valley, and I was coming back, and I crossed the Border Patrol check at Falfurrias, and the drug dog hit on my car. And at first, I thought it was humorous. I thought, what do you mean? I ain't hauling drugs. I ain't doing nothing. And they got me out, and they sat me on the bench, and they stood there waiting to put my nose in the asphalt. I tried to convince them I was a pastor. They said, yeah, right. I said, no, really, I was in my Bible's in there. I'll preach to you right now. I got a website and everything. My message is on there. Didn't make any difference. Come to find out what had happened, I stopped at the gas station before. This is what they suspect happened, because I had to go to my other friends in the Border Patrol and over here in Uvalde and get them to come check my car out to find out what in the world was going on. And they ran the drug dog through it, because they know I'm not hauling drugs. And what had happened, they said, is that they've had this, happen before, that the filling station I stopped at prior to the checkpoint, they sprayed the side of my car with liquid marijuana so that I would be hit and be caught and everybody be over there on me while the drugs really went through. So, you think everything's okay, but it's kind of hard when you're trying to speak truth to people who really believe you're a drug runner. I don't know what could give them that impression. Started to fit, tell them, don't you feel the anointing? I mean, come on. Let's pray. Jesus is here. Anyway, you want truth. You want the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Spirit to be there in your life speaking to you and bringing truth, because you don't want to be deceptive, or you don't want to be falsely accused or be the patsy for some drug dealer. You follow what I'm saying? These are days that we need truth in our life. These are days, and what I'm challenging you about is that these are the days that you have to stretch where you are right now in your walk with Jesus. You've got to stretch and you've got to do more. Today's the day to turn up and start reading your Bible more than you've ever read before, to start praying more than you've ever prayed before. Buy yourself a devotional. Read it. I suggested buy my book on the Holy Spirit that's in the deal. All the money goes to the orphanage anyway. If you think I'm just preaching the message, try to sell books. Lord help me, I would never do that. But go read it. Look how small it is. Do something to stir yourself between now and Pentecost. Do something to challenge yourself to grow as a Christian. Because these are the days that we need truth in our lives. These are the days that we need to know what is going on. Now, let me get into this message. He goes on down here and he said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to do something. And what he's going to do, he said, is in verse 8, he says, and he will come, he will convict the world of sin. And for so long, you know, Christians have done such a bad job in trying to tell everybody what sin is, and simply stating that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of sin, and then they go through and, you know, like I always joke about, say, it's always major on drinking, dancing, and smoking, you know. But let's see what he says sin is. Verse 9 says, of sin because they do not believe in me. The real conviction that the Holy Spirit wants in our life is all of those places in our life that we're not believing and trusting in Jesus for the answer. We're worried about our finances. We're worried about our health. We're worried about the future. We're worried about this. We're worried about our kids. We're worried about all these things. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, Jesus, help me. I'm in trouble and I need you. I believe you that you can make a way, that you can get me out of this. Whoo, thank you for that peace, Lord, because I know your word's true, and you said if I pray and ask you, you're going to do it. Don't we usually pray a prayer like that, and then we say, Lord, I thank you, you're going to do it. Thank you, Jesus. And you turn to your wife and say, oh, God, what are we going to do? Isn't that the great men and women of faith that we are? Wrong. I mean, let's see what Pentecost is really about. The Holy Spirit coming to tap you on the shoulder and say, you're thinking about it wrong. Hello. People get scared of the Holy Spirit and don't want to have anything to do with him, when a whole time it's his first job is just come tap you on the shoulder and say, don't go that way. No, no, let me show you the truth. No, quit talking like you're talking. Don't say that. Don't say you're never going to do it. No, 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 be quiet. God, there's nothing that's impossible with God. There's nothing that's impossible with God. You see, he's wanting to come into your life and speak this to you. Now, let me just tell you this. Hold your finger there and go over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And let me show you something here. You say, well, Robert, I know that that's good preaching, but you know, I really just, you know, things are going good for me right now. And I'm trusting God and I know he's going to do it. Let me show you something here. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, this is written in, you know, roughly somewhere between 90 and 98 A.D. This book was written. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, and they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Now, hold on a minute. This is the Apostle John, the man who leaned his head on Jesus' chest on the night that he was betrayed. Do you think he could pick some pretty good friends? You think he'd be hanging with the right crowd? Are you listening to me? Don't you think that he'd be, all-knowing, all-discerning, just be able to just know everybody's heart, look into the person's soul and say, "Oh, I see." Wouldn't you? Come on, church. Talk to me here. Yet he said that there were people who were of an Antichrist spirit in the midst of them that had to go out from them. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Hollywood wants to promote the Antichrist always as an individual, and an individual who's always demonically, you know, possessed or spooky or scary or head turns around backwards or eyeballs roll around or something, right? And there is, the Bible tells us, there is going to be a day and a time where there's an individual, a person that arises to a place of superiority and rules tries to rule the world, and he is called the Antichrist. But what does Antichrist mean? Right? What does it mean? Yeah, anti means against, or right? So it's against Christ, right? Antichrist. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of funny. He doesn't use any other word. He just says he's the Antichrist. In other words, everything that's against Christ. So everything that, every spirit that is something that leads you away from Jesus is an Antichrist spirit. I'm not talking about Casper the Friendly Ghost here. I'm talking about a spirit. You know, like if you go to a bar and you sit in a bar and everybody's drinking, then the spirit is everybody starts cussing, then everybody starts smoking. That's just the way it goes in a bar if you go in a bar. Not that I've ever been in one. I just heard that. Forgive me, Father, for I've lied. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you get around that, people that are all acting a certain way or saying a certain way or doing a certain thing, you take on that same spirit, right? Doesn't mean you get possessed. It just means that's the influence on your life, and then you're going to start to act like that. There was something going on in the middle of the apostles' group right there, those people that were coming to church in those days, that began to be something that was anti-Jesus. Now, Christ means the Messiah. It also means the anointed one or the anointing. It was anti the anointing, anti the anointed one, anti-Christ, anti-Jesus. Have you ever had, now y'all watching on this because y'all get you on the second one. Have you ever had just a whiff go by on Sunday morning? I just like to stay in bed. I don't really want to go to church this morning. Everybody that has had that thought, raise your hand. You know that joke, you know, there was a man, he's laying in bed, and his wife's going to church. He says, "Get up, you got to go to church." And he says, "I don't want to go to church." He says, "I don't like those people. They're not nice." And he says, "Oh, there are. There's nice people. You just don't really think that, you know, it's just you. It's not them. And you're just not being right." He says, "No, it's long and I don't want to stay there." And he says, "Oh, come on, you've got to go." And, And so he just kept coming up with more excuses. And finally, she says, "Honey, you're the preacher. Get up." That's happened to me before. So I don't want to go to church. No, but that spirit, that voice you heard, that wisp of word that came into your head, that is an anti-Christ spirit. It's something that's against Jesus. It doesn't want you to come to church. It doesn't want you to get up. It didn't want you to sacrifice to get here this morning, to sit here to hear this message, because he didn't want to be found out. Because if he's found out and you're not anti-Christ, then what would the opposite of anti-Christ be? Pro-Christ. For Christ. In Christ. Wait, isn't that what he said? That you are in Christ? Folks, let's not be ignorant. There's a spirit in this world that does not want you to serve Jesus. Does not want you to walk as a Christian. It'll persecute you as a Christian. It'll laugh at you. It'll mock you. It'll say that you're, whatever. That is the Antichrist spirit that was they're talking about right here in the original forming of the church. It's been here on the face of the earth forever. It was the Antichrist spirit that got in the snake that came in there and that deceived Eve. How much greater to get Eve and Adam and Eve to forsake God in the garden? The Antichrist spirit's loosed in this world now. And everything that tells you in life not to do, don't forgive, don't love, don't go to church, don't give, don't bless, whatever. That's the Antichrist spirit. It influences you, comes in and it tries to encourage you to do what it wants you to do. It makes ways to tell you that it's better this way or better that way. Y'all with me? The Holy Spirit wants to come into your life, and the Holy Spirit wants to come in there and he wants to tap you on the shoulder and say, "Oh, that's the Antichrist." Because the Holy Spirit is the exact opposite of the Antichrist. Right? Wow. Isn't it funny we're so in tune to hear the Antichrist? Whoo! Isn't it amazing how the Antichrist can just speak to you and say, "I don't forgive them." You know what they did? He ain't going to do that. "Well, you know, that's Holy Spirit stuff. I don't know about the Holy Spirit." Well, you're messing with the Antichrist. You might as well mess with the Holy Spirit. You're listening to him, doing what he wants you to do. Might as well get in tune with the Holy Spirit. Start listening to what really is truth, what really is revelation. Might as well start develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and say, "All right, listen, why not do it this way?" Thought comes to you, "Oh, I don't want to go to church. This morning, Lord, I just want to stay here in the bed and sleep." So we make it into a prayer. "My body's tired and I need to rest." Why don't we just stop and say, "You know, Antichrist, the Antichrist spirit speaking to me, why don't you just shut up? Holy Spirit, speak truth to me. Matter of fact, I want to go to church this morning. I want to hear a revelation from God. I want to go to church this day and I want to declare that, Lord, you're going to touch me by the power of your spirit. I want to be strengthened and encouraged. I want to be like Elijah, run before the chariot, Lord. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go and I'm going to hear a word. I'm going to encourage somebody else. I'm going to bless somebody else. Lord, I'm going to go eat some good food." It's one spirit or the other. There's no neutral ground. You're influenced by the Antichrist or the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist or the pro-Christ. One or the other. But praise God. Jesus said, "I know this is going to happen. It's not a big deal. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you into truth." Look at the next thing he says. I've already turned. Okay, back to John 16. In John 16, in verse 10, he says, the second thing he's going to do, he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He said he's going to convict you of righteousness. How do you get convicted of righteousness? He did not say he was going to convict you of unrighteousness. He said he was going to convict you of righteousness. Or am I reading my Bible wrong? Is that what y'all says? Did y'all say that? The church world preaches that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of unrighteousness. Well, that already got taken care of in verse 9. He's convicting you of sin, the sin of not believing in Jesus. How do you get righteous? Come on, this is a participating message. How do you get righteous? Believe in Jesus. It's His blood that washes you and cleanses your sin, right? It's not you. You can't do anything. Oh, Pastor, I'm not living very righteously. Well, then I guess you're not saved. You don't know. Oh, yes, I am saved, but I've done some bad things. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about righteousness comes from your faith and your confession and your belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He arose from the grave and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, you are righteous by the blood, not by your great acts, but by your faith and your belief. That's proved throughout all the scriptures. You can't work righteousness. Now, you can do good. Hello? You can do good, but you can't work righteousness. You're either righteous by the blood or you're self-righteous. I dare to say that you could get Christians of all denominations and gather them together and put them in a room and start talking to them and say, well, what do you have to do to be righteous? And you'd come up with all kinds of stuff. Well, you know, you need to do right. You need to go to church and, you know, you need to live right. And you need to, hey, folks, you listen to me. If that's what you're hoping to get you to heaven on, man, that's a nothing. There's only one thing that's going to get you to heaven. There's only one thing that's going to make you righteous. There's only one thing that can wash away your sins, and that's the blood of Jesus. And the only way that can be applied to your life is that you did step one, were convicted that you didn't believe in Jesus, and you now do believe in Jesus. Hey, listen. Oh, I got it. Whoo! One time at least you've all heard the voice of the Holy Spirit because you got convicted that you weren't believing in Jesus, and you made an altar call, or you accepted Jesus somehow. You made a profession of your faith and belief in Jesus. You said, Jesus, I believe in you. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because you weren't, now you are. Hello? The act of that first step made the second step when He was going to convict you of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Now, wait a minute. This is another story. In other words, He's trying to convict you of all the times in life you say, oh, God, I'm such a failure. I don't know how you could love me, Lord. The Holy Spirit comes in and taps you on the shoulder and says, excuse me, you're under the blood. He comes in and taps on your shoulder and says, no, you're under the blood. You're under the blood. You're under the blood. And so therefore your sins are forgiven. So therefore you are holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. So quit thinking like that because you're listening to the Antichrist who's trying to tell you you're not righteous. You're no good. And what you've done is unforgivable. He said, the Holy Spirit talked to you and say, well, you should repent. And say, I'm sorry, Lord, I messed up, but that didn't have anything to do with your righteousness. That had to do with getting the devil off of you that grabbed a hold of you. Have any of you ever had a leech attach itself to you? If you swam around the rivers much, you know, sometimes you get a leech on you. Oh, here we go. How about a tick? Heaven forbid you've ever been bitten by a tick. Horrible. Blood-sucking parasite stuck to you, sucking the life out of you. It happens. Y'all with me? Whenever you start doing things that are unrighteous, listen to the Antichrist too much. If you just put it like this, this is the best way I can get this example into you. When you start dealing with the Antichrist spirit and start doing what the Antichrist spirit is talking to you about, you get a tick. Now this, if this is not a South Texas cowboy church message, I'm into ticks now. You'll live. It may itch, but you'll live. It ain't going to kill you. Are y'all with me here? Think about this. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, you know, why don't you just repent and let me take that tick off of you? And you're like, oh, what tick? I don't have a tick. I don't know. I've never done that wrong. Man, I can just see a whole message in this. The dipping that of the Holy Ghost. Getting the infestation of ticks off of you. There's a dipping vat of the anointing of God. He's not convicting you of unrighteousness. He's trying to get you to realize that you're righteous. Whoo! He's trying to come in and say, what are you talking about? You're a son of God. I've always believed this. We'll see when we get to heaven. If it doesn't happen like this, y'all can just say, Pastor, you were wrong. Nothing. Go figure. I can see all of the Christians standing before the throne of God. And I can see all the angels, this innumerable multitude of angels, warring angels and worshiping angels, and all these angels stand around here. And I can see these big warring angels, you know, like Gabriel and Michael and these guys, you know, 12-foot tall angels with swords in their hands. You know what I mean? These guys kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night. I mean, these guys are amazing. And off the throne of God, God the Father calls forth and says, sons of God, step forward. And all the Christians look at each other and say, what's he talking about? And I can see these angels stand there holding their swords and like, can't believe these guys. Looking down at us and saying, they're talking about you. You step forward.
Me? Oh, what am I doing? I don't know what step forward.
Most of the time and most of the things we walk through in life, we don't even know who we are, biblically speaking or spiritually speaking. The Bible says the angels long for the position you're in. Hey, let's just blow your mind a little more. The Bible says that you'll judge the world. Like, what? Me? Yeah! You're a saint, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know nothing. I just got in the kingdom.
Well, let's get to knowing something. Let's get with the program. Let's start learning. Folks, if you knew, I mean, if I'm just called on jury duty, I get a little nervous. It's like, oh my gosh, hope they don't ask me any question too hard. I mean, do I know how to spell? How do we spell? I have to go think. I can't spell anything. I barely spell my name. I don't want to write anything. In a situation like that, a bunch of people, they just say, you're Dr. Richards, you can't spell? Yeah. Sorry. You got to understand, my whole life of dealing with dyslexia, and you can't write a B or a D, and still to this day, I have to think when I look at it which way it goes. You don't want to write. I don't want to put my name. I don't want to write anything. I don't want anybody to see and say, what is this? And I got a dog spelled with a B, you know? That's the way we spell them where I come from. That's why they say, well, you got a problem with it? No, sir, we don't have a problem with it. Okay. Everything in, be quiet. And you're going to judge the world? The world! I mean, we're just talking about one person got in trouble. And you're going to judge the world because you're qualified. Did you hear what I said? Because you're qualified to do it. Now, folks, that's out of my realm of thinking. Y'all with me? I've always kind of had this crazy thinking, and I know it would really get me in trouble if I had to, but it's like, I've always felt like, and I don't know why I feel like this, but like whatever, if nobody could fly the airplane, I'd give it a shot. And if I could just say, okay, now what does this do? Oh, okay, that doesn't, okay, turned out, oh, no, don't touch that one. Okay, that didn't work too good. You know, give me a little bit of practice. I could probably figure it out. Land at 747. Feel confident I could do it. It's dangerous. I'm a dangerous person. But you don't get to practice. You're disqualified. Because you believed in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's trying to convict you and say, George, you're righteous. He comes to tap you and says, don't act like that. You're righteous. Don't do that. Don't look what you can do. Speak that and it'll happen. Believe that and God will do it. I'm speaking as the Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Lord, but he's saying to you, I've been to heaven. I've seen the throne. I know what's going on. I know Jesus is sitting there trying to tell you, just believe me. I'm telling you the truth. That's what he's doing. He's convicting you of righteousness. Look at the last one. 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He's stamping up and down saying, don't believe the Antichrist. He lied to you. He's already been judged. It's over. He has no power, no authority. Quit listening to him. You hearing what I'm saying this morning? I want that helper with me. Somebody say, oh, well, you know, Holy Spirit made me feel bad. What? He's trying to make you feel good. He's trying to get across your thick skull that you believe in Jesus, that you're righteous, and the devil's defeated. I want that in my life. I need that in my life. You know, Sister Annie is the person that we work all of our missions out of Mexico, and we've been with for 20 years with them, and she's going to be up here. We're trying to get up here in June to have a ladies' meeting and preach here at the church. But anyway, one time she said this to me, and just it hit me. He said this years ago. I said, yeah, I just need somebody to walk around with me all the time, just telling me, reminding me what the Bible says, you know, on all occasions, what I need. She says, he does. And he's called the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, that's a good one. That's a good one, Sister Annie. I mean, you know. You're exactly right. What am I saying? How could I have let such stupidity utter out of my mouth? He's right there all the time with me. Folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. Quit going and listening to what the world says, what somebody else may say to you, and stop and start trying to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Show me what I'm supposed to do in this situation. Show me how I'm supposed to act. Show me what I'm supposed to do. I want truth. I want to be convicted of where I'm not believing in Jesus. I want you to show me what it means to be righteous and truly walk in righteousness. And Lord, please just show me how the devil is defeated in this situation. The devil is defeated and God is on the throne. Amen? The devil is defeated and God is on the throne. Or we could say the devil is defeated and Jesus is in charge. Amen? And let's start being pro-Christ and quit listening to the Antichrist. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm pro-Christ. Look at the person on the other side and say, how about you? You pro-Christ? Y'all do this with me. Stand up here. Let's have a little conversation here, okay? Instead of bowing our heads and praying right now, let's get a little, if you can, I don't want to hurt make you get embarrassed or anything. But why don't we have a little conversation here? And why don't we just do a little, if y'all would allow me, because I really don't know what I want to say, but it's going to be good. Let's just make a little declaration here, okay? Everybody say, Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost. I declare today, I'm going to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. I am pro-Christ, not the Antichrist. I don't want to listen to the Antichrist. I want to listen to the Holy Ghost. So thank you today that you're leading me in truth. Thank you today that you're showing me how I'm righteous. And thank you today that the devil is defeated and God is on the throne. Amen. Now look at the person beside you and say, that felt good. Now folks, if you'd wake up every morning and do something just like that, if you'd start your day out just like that, if you'd wait to get up in the morning and to say, this is the way I'm going to live my life. Make that announcement to this world. I want to tell you something. Your life will change. Amen. I continually challenge you. I'm telling you, stretch yourself. We got 5 more weeks to the Sunday of Pentecost. Stretch yourself. Pray. Read your Bible. Read a book. Get a book. Any book. Any book. Just get home. Go in the bookstore. Buy a book. Say, I'm going to read that book. I hadn't read a book. Never, ever. Did you know that when I got saved, I was 25 years old, and I had never read a book in my life? I went all the way through high school and never read a book. It's the truth. I read the front and the back. Did all my book reports on Cochise. It's the smallest, thinnest book in the library, so I didn't even read it. Never read a book. Didn't read a book because reading was hard for me. Because I couldn't ever get it. It didn't look right. And so what I'm telling you today, church, is this. Simply this. Stretch yourself. Believe God. Challenge yourself. Don't let it get away. Get hold of this time. Grow in these days. Amen? Amen. Well, if you would, everyone, let's just bow your heads for just a minute. I do want to ask you. I want everybody to have some private time. But if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never made that confession of faith. You've never felt the Holy Spirit convict your heart and to get you to believe in Jesus. Well, right now I want to ask you, are you feeling Him tugging at you? Are you feeling Him tugging at your heart? Then right now, don't hesitate. Today's your day. If you want your sins washed away, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross. He gave His life for you. He was buried, but then He arose from the dead on the third day. He ascended to heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now. And He always lives to pray and intercede for you, and He loves you. If you're in here today and you don't know that, but you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just lift your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, it's me. I want Jesus in my life today. I want Jesus to come into my heart today. I want to be forgiven of my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then look at me, everybody up here. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're scared. You don't know what to do. And that's okay. But listen to me. If God's touching your heart and He's calling you, don't leave this building without making Jesus the Lord of your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So just pray and believe. Matter of fact, let me have my prayer team come down right now, my pastoral team. And if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, I believe God will touch you. I believe God will move miracles in your life. I believe with all of my heart that prayer works. And if you want to pray, then today's the day. Come down and pray. But get the person's hand next to you. And look at them and say, I'm pro-Jesus. Father, I declare today that as we go over to have dinner on the grounds together, as we go over here today and to bless people and just to minister to people and just to, Lord, just to have you moving in our lives and have fellowship with you. I just thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that you just move over the people and that you bless them. That, Lord, our food is blessed, our time is blessed, our fellowship is blessed. And God, as we go from this day, I declare that our voice is going to, our ears are going to be in tune to the voice of the Holy Spirit, not the Antichrist. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're up here to pray for you if you need prayer.